welcome to the Brothers Chat podcast, where we discuss anything and everything football centric. I'm Tawa, your football maestro, and we've got a strong Liverpool contingent this week, who I'm sure in buoyant mood after recent results. But before we get into that, I'll go through the usual formalities. So, Richard, you are the brainchild of Bruno Fernandes FC. How you feeling, brother?
Yeah, man, I'm all good. Just want to say a shout out to Sporting Lisbon as well. And I'm doing
That is shameless. To be honest, I don't expect anything less from you. We've got the Chelsea politician in Boaz. What's good, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, thanks. It was a sad weekend, or sad week even.
Sad week for all of us, but we move. We've got no biases, no agendas, just Delhi. How you doing, bro?
We're here, man. Just come to speak the facts, nothing else.
Nothing but facts. We've got Dami, who's fighting in the red corner, or May 9th for that matter. What are you saying, man?
I'm doing good, thank you. Thanks for having me on again. Thank you for speaking with you as well.
We've got the Canadian sensation, who's probably flying her Liverpool kite sky high right now. How are you, Kiana?
I am well, thank you. Like I said, I'm in jerseyed up Black Lives Matter edition. I'm ready to defend the slander. But yeah,
you got your shield and sword ready.
Yep.
We'll try and be nice, but I can't make any promises. We've got Reese, another Liverpool fan, who, in his words, is here to speak some unfiltered truths, but others may see it simply as delusion. What's good, man?
Yeah, man, no delusion will come out my mouth today. Only truth and smoke.
Yeah. The vibes is coming out early, but wait, we'll digress. We've got a returning PJ who's making it 2 for 2. So welcome back.
Come on. They don't call me Lacazette because, you know, obviously 2 and 2 is something that he can't do. But, you know, it's good to be better.
Hey, what are you saying, PJ? I hear the streets are saying you're a City fan now. Is this true?
Obviously, my lawyer said I shouldn't comment on that one. There, so,
what you saying? Wherever the money talks, yeah.
Money talks, man. I'm feeling Sami Nasri vibes right now.
I'm feeling Shameless vibes right now, but it's clear.
If he's go on.
But yeah, we're gonna go straight into it. It was May 9th v Liverpool, which had been rescheduled due to the anti-Glazer protest, but we finally got there in the end. Liverpool winning in spectacular fashion. Two consecutive home losses for Man United and a first win at Old Trafford for Jurgen Klopp. So I'll give the Liverpool fans the floor. I'll start with Reese. What do you think of that game from a Liverpool perspective?
Kiana, ladies first. Kiana, go ahead, man. I'll let you take that, ladies first.
What a gentleman you are.
Oh, super gentleman. Reese and I defend the clubhouse group well. So
I've heard the stories.
I appreciate that. Some people get kind of out of control, but it's not about them. I felt good going into that game, and I just felt like we started out like we wanted it, and then we won't talk about what happened that was gifted to you guys, but I saw a glimpse of everything that makes me super, super confident about our squad. Like, I felt like everybody had a really good game. And I don't know, like I'm still a day by day person, but like everybody that is supposed to be where they are is where they are. There's no Fab in the back. So having him in the mid, and you know, supporting Thiago and just I don't know. I'm still on cloud nine, but I'm happy about the results, obviously. And I think we still need to keep in mind that we're not. To me, I just want to see consistency. To be honest, like I'm okay with us moving forward and building, and you know, just solidifying all the pieces. But I can't talk about where we're going to end. Like, I have to see it day by day. I think Trent destroyed that. I feel like he destroyed any hateful slander that should come his way. It'll still make it there, but he was just phenomenal. Like, he had such a good game. I'm proud of that squad, because I know for a fact, I'll tell you for free, that I don't think any other team could pull off where we are in the table right now based on what we went through. So
that's facts.
Before I go to you, Luis, Abdi, sorry, I didn't even introduce you, man.
Yeah, that was kind of rude. You know, I was about to say something, but it's okay, bro. I like
Welcome to the floor.
I was about to say I'm happy to be here, but I'm not really happy now.
No worries. I
want to go home.
No worries, Abdi. No worries. I just had in my head, May and Ivy Liverpool win it. So
it's okay, bro. It's all good.
It was an Arsenal Chelsea, Arsenal game to discuss as well.
But all good, guys. Happy to be here as usual. Usual suspect.
All right, now we can move. Yeah. Reece, how would you dissect Liverpool's performance yesterday?
Yeah, I think we started the game slow at Liverpool. I think in the first like 10 minutes or so, I thought like United were really dominating and they got a goal. For their dominance, which is a bit disappointing. But I think often when you see goals going early in games, you always have thought that the team has more time to bring it around. And then towards the end of the first half, we started to play a bit more. And I think United really played into Liverpool's strengths, because without Maguire at the back, I think they struggled to build from the back, but they kept persisting. You know, if you look at their back four, they got Wan-Bissaka, who's not the best on the ball, even though I think he's improved this season. You've got Eric Bailly, who's not the best on the ball. You've got Lindelof, who's okay on the ball. And you've got Luke Shaw. But kept trying to build up from the back, and then obviously Liverpool's press, kept doing it. We had loads of chances, and to be honest, 4-2 is even a kind result, if I'm being totally frank. I know United had their chances as well, but I think if Liverpool were more clinical, they would have, it would have been an embarrassment, really. And I think that's the story of Liverpool season so far. Like we've the stats I've heard where we haven't scored in the first half and since XYZ, and we never finished off our chances. Even in the Champions League against Real Madrid, we're not finished off our chances as well. So it was good to get like a nice, healthy 4 goals to really set us in good stead for the next couple of games at the end of the season. Because I think Liverpool are back to creating chances. Because the biggest thing was a period like in January, February, March times where we weren't really creating chances. You didn't really know what Liverpool got to look like now. But now we seem to be making chances, and I think it's going to put us in good stead to go. Get out of four. The best thing I like about the result is the fact that it's now in our hands. Do you know what I mean? Like, I hate when you're having to, rely on this person to drop points and this person to drop points. And if we win our games, unless Leicester does a mad one on goal difference or Chelsea on goal difference, we should be able to secure top four. So, and if we get top four, like Kiana said, it's unreal. Especially if we get top four, especially considering, because you're going to say excuses, this, excuses that. But if we're being honest, yeah, this is an unprecedented injury situation that Liverpool have had. Having your free centre backs get season-ending injuries. I never heard of that before. Listen, I'll give you guys a challenge anyway. Anyone that disagrees with me, please find me a team where that's happened, where they've had three
excuses.
Please. If you can find that me, I'll be very happy, but you can't, because it never existed. So if we can get top four, oh boy, it's next season. It's on. And like I said, injuries permitting, Liverpool will challenge for the Premier League next season. Like, that's just a fact. People keep talking about this drop-off and our clock style of play and this person. No. If Van Dijk comes back to at least 80% of the play he was before, if Gomez comes back strong, we can ingratiate Konate. Liverpool are going to challenge for the top four.
All right, Reece, I got a question for you, bro. Yeah, sorry to cut you off. Yeah,
dove in. I was just like doing
So I was saying, you're talking about your defensive problems, which we all understand that you've been lacking for Liverpool. But what about your attack in Salah, Mane, and Firmino? But that's what I'm saying. If we're talking about challenge for next season, we need to talk about the whole team. So you're it comes down to the end of cycle for Liverpool, or you think it's just one off season?
I mean, there's a narrative by rival fans who are jealous about this end of cycle. You sound like one of them, but that's all good.
Jealous? My friend, just to let you know, I'm a Chelsea fan, just to let you know, yeah? So we can put it into context.
Jealous still. But anyway, let me explain to you. The top teams, they defend and they attack in units. If you look at Liverpool and City, their attack starts from Edison, the keeper, or Alisson, the keeper. You know what I mean? And if you look at the best teams again, Liverpool, we start pressing from the front. We defend from our strikers. So when you get rid of the foundation of the house, that is Van Dijk and Gomez, and then their backup gets injured afterwards, then you have to move your centre midfield into centre back. That destroys the foundation of the house. So the start of the attack is gone. So when you're saying that, it's the attackers, you can't differentiate the two. They're a unit together. I will admit Mane's not had the best season. I will admit that Firmino's not looking the sharpest But at the same time, I still believe that if we had had a full-strength team, we would have still be challenging the season. And I think if anyone, could people want to talk about a drop-off and end of cycle, I don't believe that. I think our players are still fit. I think if it's not, if this is the season and there's no injuries and this has happened, I'll give you it. But it's not. So I just have to debunk what you just said, Abdi.
All right, so let's go back to Mane.
I agree.
We'll go back to Mane. He's possibly having the worst season I've seen at Liverpool. What do you are you explaining the fact that as a team, Liverpool, although they've had the difficulties in terms of injuries and stuff, do you think that affected him in front of goals?
Abdi, let me tell you something. Yeah, what I'm going to do, I'm going to pass to my Liverpool teammate because that's Kiana's. Mane's
Kiana. It's open question. Open question. I'm just asking because you said,
Reese touched on it. If we have a system and we move as a unit, as much as people want to make it seem like we remove one piece of that puzzle and everything's supposed to operate, that's just not how our squad works. So for me, I personally notice more that Mane is just put in a situation where, well, I guess all of them are. They're just put in a situation to be a little bit more defensive minded than attacking minded because it's like you're expected to now be like aware of where that soft spot is that is going to be completely manipulated and taken advantage of, and that's what happened with Trent. But for Mane, I just feel like he just goes so hard. And what stresses me out when I hear people talk about how he needs to be sold and like, I'm not even going to repeat some of the things that Mane has been called in some of these groups. This guy is still a threat on the field. And it's not like they're just leaving him open because he's not in form. Like he is still sometimes double team. He's still pushing the ball up. He's still carrying the ball. He's still expected to take all these contacts, all this contact and get not Mane can't get a goal. Mane can't get a foul if all of us put together and petition for it. Like this guy takes some serious knocks and gets up. Eventually I think it's mentally and physically tiring. Like he's still involved in the play. He's still involved in assists. Like he's just not on the field like a pylon the way that people make it seem. So he's a world-class player and he's just in a rut. And like I had to remind somebody the other day that he scored a goal. Like how are people forgetting? Like he also set up Salah by taking on two defenders. He beat, if I'm not mistaken, he beat two or three defenders to even cross that ball into the box. I had to remind somebody that happened. Like I get it.
Add on to that. Yeah,
not the highlight. I get it if he's not the highlight, but this guy's not a bum. Like I don't want to hear anybody talk about him being
also. And let's talk about this. Like this, people acting like when City got what 99 points or 97 points, 18-19 season, they lost Laporte and they dropped off by like what 20 points. This ain't the first time that a centre back injury has derailed the season. It happened to City. The Liverpool's biggest sin this season was not getting a fourth centre back when Lovren left and relying on Fabinho to go in the back. Because this is, like I said, happened to City. They lost Laporte and they literally next season Liverpool. Won a power at a counter. We broke all types of records of being one of the first people to win it. So when you lose a centre-back, it's a big, big deal. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know why, like, because if I said in the beginning of the season, if I looked at every neutrals, everyone used to say the same thing about Liverpool. They used to say, our midfield lacks creativity and we don't have backup for the front three. The way Liverpool's finances are set up, yeah, we can't go and get Thiago, Jota and the centre-back. So then we're left with a choice. And if I think, if I gave every football fan a choice of getting a centre-back or getting Thiago, and Jota, everyone would have said Thiago and Jota. So it's just a bit lucky. That's what, like, because people like to do this revisionist history in hindsight. Oh, you should have got, we don't have the money to be doing what City did. City, what even, in the beginning of the season, remember correctly, remember City lost to Leicester at the beginning of the season. They weren't what they were doing now. What did Pep go and do? He went and got Diaz for 65 million. We don't have the manpower to do that. You know what I'm saying? So come on, I just want to be fair and consistent with all the teams. I know you guys hate and are jealous of Liverpool, but let's be consistent, man. Come on.
Hey, what are we jealous of? I don't understand.
That's a lot to unpack. But the general consensus that I'm getting from Liverpool fans, the Liverpool fans being Reece and Kiana, Liverpool are still the closest challengers to Manchester City.
No, that's not that. City are the closest challenger to Liverpool. That's what. That's how you should rephrase that statement. Injuries permit, we would have. Yeah, I said it.
Yeah, you must be feeling.
We'll try and look at things from a Man United perspective, because there's been a lot of words shared on Liverpool.
It's good. We're here to take questions, if you have any.
That's fine. Question time's over. In due course. But when we're looking at it from the Man United side of things, Dami, how bad were Manchester United yesterday by your estimation?
To be fair, I didn't watch the first half of that, but watch the second half, yeah, it was all over the place. It was one of the one things I've been saying going forward, we need to sort out our midfield in terms of being able to control games, because you can't keep trying to counter-attack teams for next season. We're not good enough to be doing that, and even if we are good enough to do that, like, that's not how football should be played, in my opinion, unless we're like a Leicester. Like, we are Man United, and we should at least be trying to dominate teams rather than just trying to counter them on the break. I think you were having a discussion about Rashford earlier, and Rashford does Rashford things. Like, he scored a good goal, yeah, and then I think he had the similar chance, I think, in the last minute of the game. I know the game was over, and he still put it wide. I'm just thinking, what are you doing? He'd do that if it was 1-0 down. He does it. He does that quite a lot, so I don't know for him. Last night showed how much we missed Harry Maguire in general and how good he is for our defence.
Yeah.
One of his biggest haters this season, but he has grown on me, so fair enough. But yeah, if with this squad, we aren't finishing higher than fourth next season. So we need some reinforcements. We need a winger, in my opinion. We need a striker. If we want to win the league, we need a winger, we need a striker. The CDM, we need a centre back. In my opinion, a right back. We're not going to get all of that, so I don't know about winning the league, but it's what it is.
Yeah. And just kind of sticking on Maguire, Richard, how big a miss will it be to miss Harry Maguire for the remainder of the season, as last night's game exemplified?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. A lot of fans have slated Maguire. They've called out all of his mistakes rather than applauding for the good work that he does. There's been question marks like from the start of the season about his captaincy to the club as well. But I feel like, it's a very cliche saying, but you don't realize what is good until it's gone. So that's clearly what's happened with Maguire. Like, you could tell without Maguire, there is no leadership at the back. We do look a mess. And yeah, Maguire is pivotal to this Man United squad. That's what we add. No one, when we lose games like this, we lack a spine, and that's what Maguire is. So, yeah, I think it kind of shut up a lot of the haters when it comes to Maguire. He's our most important defender. People have argued that Bailly might be better, but I think we all come into agreement that Maguire is a leader, and he's our best centre back.
Yeah. Dele, I know you've been very vocal about Maguire in the past. Do you concur with Rich's sentiments, or do you feel a little bit differently? Do you feel as if it was something else?
I wouldn't say Maguire is our best centre back, but I'll say he's our most knowledgeable centre back in terms of leadership, organisation. Because I think we conceded two of the goals, if I'm correct. One was a set piece. No, two of them were set pieces, right? If I'm correct. There was the corner that got deflected, and then Jota scored.
Yeah.
And then there was the Firmino goal. And in both of them situations there was no organisation. No one knew who to mark. Like, Pogba had Firmino, didn't. I don't know why.
Sorry, not to interrupt. Are you saying that losing a centre-back has led to a lack of organisation? Because it sounds very funny to similar to what Liverpool situation, but I didn't even hear that.
Don't worry, because the thing is, I don't think the defense is even at fault for the goals that we conceded. You see them bloody two Fred and McTominay? Oh my god, bloody sieves.
No, again, this is no biases, Deli.
Absolute sieves. No, but this is not a bias. This is actually what we saw in the game. Like, I don't know how many times Fred has given the ball away that we have conceded from it. If I'm correct, Firmino's goal came because Fred got pressured by Trent. He gave the ball literally past the Trent because Trent was a while away from him. Trent got the ball, shot, deflected, and then Firmino was there to pick it up. Like, Fred is so bad. He does that so many times. He did it with the PSG game. He did it in the Leicester games. I think he even did it with the Liverpool game the last time we played. Like, he keeps doing it. Like, he keeps passing the ball to nobody. And then he just puts his hand up, puts his head down, and goes and pray. I don't know if he's doing that. McTominay now is just, he's even lucky to be on the pitch, if we're being honest, because he still got a red card for that Mane challenge he had.
Sure did. That's why I say Mane can't buy a foul.
And then he does a thing where I don't think a lot of people notice. He does this weirdness where he doesn't really, in big games, he doesn't really stay at right back, but he kind of tries to cover that area and he doesn't try to get involved. And then it's like, he will just be pointing and shouting, but he won't do nothing. And I feel like he knows maybe technically I'm not as sound as some of the other guys on the team, so I can't attempt to do certain passes, certain crosses. But the way Liverpool, like second half, Liverpool was targeting the two of them. Like, they were getting pressed left, right and centre, and they couldn't do nothing about it. They couldn't get out. And I'll say that's the only thing I probably say we missed the most from Maguire was someone playing the ball out from the back, because Bailly's crap at it. And Lindelof, again, I feel like he was just trying to cover, so everything was just in a mess. But I think Fred and McTominay were more of the causes than Maguire being missing, if I'm honest.
Well, Daddy, what are you saying? Does McFred need to be stopped at all costs?
It has to stop. It has to. We'll never win. And I'm very happy that Roy Keane even mentioned it, because for ages, fans have been saying McTominay's good. To be honest, I've not really seen anyone talk about Fred and say he's good. But McTominay's been given plaudits because obviously he's Mourinho's boy. And obviously some of our fans are still loyal to him. I have no idea why. But I was really happy that Roy Keane came out and was just like, yeah, with Fred and McTominay, we're not winning nothing. And it's facts. We're not going to win nothing with them two. But Pogba was crap as well. That's my guy, but he was crap as well. Maybe he got too excited. Like, Ramadan, Eid was yesterday. So maybe him and his wife did extracurricular activities because he looked tired. He was moving so sluggish, so sloppy. The whole team, but to be honest, but Fred McTominay, I think they're the biggest reasons for the loss than anything.
Yeah. I mean, going back to, I think it was the second goal where it kind of bounced off Henderson's arm and then deflected back to Firmino. I mean, questions have to be asked of Henderson. Is Henderson good enough to be United's number one based on yesterday's performance?
I don't think that game was fair on Henderson. I think people were just trying to pick on him. That game was fair on him. He had too many isolated situations that he couldn't really deal with. I think he did a good job. Like, if someone's shooting from you from outside the box with that much power, as a goalkeeper, you can't just catch it. Like, it's not easy to do that. So it deflected and hit that. I feel like he's been using, again, I feel like a lot of people are trying to use our defense as an escape. I feel like our midfield had no control, didn't know how to pass out from the back, nothing. So when that happens, then you're just open. And if you give Liverpool that kind of space, you're in trouble, because they pammed us with the overloads. Like, yeah. Trent was on one. Like, yeah. He took a sense of being and said, I'm ready. Came out, attacked everybody with him. So, you know what I mean? And then we gave him the space. We practically gave him the ball like five times. Like, you know what I mean? So, I don't think it's fair on Henderson or the defence, to be honest. I think the midfield really cost us.
Do you not feel as if he could have done better in that incident to save it?
I don't think he could have. Honestly, I don't think he could have. Trent's got a shot on him. So, like, when you're doing that kind of ball there, he did the best thing. He got it out as much as he could. But then if them guys don't pick up on Firmino...
You can't pan it right out to the danger zone. You got to pan it out wide or something, man.
If you look at where the shot came, it came at point blank range. So he has to sit on it. He has to sit on the shot. And the only way he can do it is if he magically able to tip it over. So I don't know if anyone like has played even basketball. The only reason I know is because of basketball. Like, when sometimes you get certain passes on that level and you've got to kind of tip it up. But then he did the best he could do in that situation there. Even though I see some people trying to say, oh, he should have done better with Salah. What could he have done? I don't understand.
I have to defend your keeper. Because
what I would say, that positioning for Salah's...
Yeah, it was poor. It was poor. It was poor. The position was
absolutely poor. He showed him to his left way too easily. Like, he might as well been out of the goal at that point.
Well, where did you guys want him to be? Like, I don't even think that's even fair to say, because they're saying, okay, you force him to go far post, but even if you look the way at
he's showing him to his left, like he's literally saying.
I'm not saying that he didn't. But if you look at Salah's body language at the beginning, it didn't even look like he was going to go for that. So I felt like at that point, some people were saying that he should have been at the top of the box. From when? Like Salah could have dribbled right around him. I feel like he did his best. I'll defend him if no one else will.
Kiana, let's compare Henderson to our world class keeper. You know what I mean? If that was Alisson,
how many mistakes has he led to goals this season?
Let me tell you something. If you have a world class keeper, Alisson would have smothered him and closed down the angle. You know, instead of inviting him, say, "Yo, come and take a shot at me." So let me. It's night and day between a world class keeper and Henderson, but that's what even that's my input in that. That's what I was going to say.
But he had some good saves where he did come out and make a stop and like sacrifice his body. But there were just two isolated incidents where Trent takes a shot like that, which you can tell like bust him in his belly, like he was dropping on it. But then why isn't anybody marked? Like, that's how Salah's made a lot of his goals, just by being in the right place and tapping in, because
nobody... Do you know what the issue is that Salah goal as well? He scored the exact same thing last season.
Yeah. I knew it was going to happen.
He scored the exact same goal last season. Where we're losing the game. We're trying to do too much. We're too high up in the line. You just got it behind. You got all that space. Like, I don't think, I don't think Henderson could have done anything.
Yeah, I'm not saying that he should have saved that. I do agree with Tyrone saying, like, he made it. Because when he just shot so easily onto the left of the guard, I was thinking, why didn't this guy make the angle a bit difficult for him? You know what I mean? But no, I hear you.
Literally, Salah probably, he would have scored anyway, but he just made that much easier for him. I mean, Dami, Richard, feel free to interject. Do you feel as if we're being harsh on Henderson?
No, it's 50-50, you know, because I thought he should be number one after he dispossessed but he is making small mistakes. For example, the last goal. No, he pressed triangle on the controller. What's he doing? So it's getting annoying that people are doing certain things and we don't need to do it. But it's what it is. Really, that's what I have to say. Really. The defense was non-existent for the whole game. So if he wants to take the day off.
But do you guys agree with me and say it's the midfield more than the defense?
Yeah, but I want to ask you about the midfield, isn't it? Because I hear every single time I come on Club Pass, our Sweet Team fans are telling me this. So we just need free signings. This defender.
We said four.
See, now they're adding their profile. But I'm just saying...
No. We said four.
Okay. But the profile of this number six that you want, like, you know, you want someone who can break up play and you want someone who's good on the ball. That is few and far between. Like, I can name maybe like a handful of...
It's incredibly few and far between.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And I personally think that's more important than... Especially a right winger. I know I'm a United fan. You guys watch them more than me. But when I watch United, I think a defender and a number six is more important. But saying that... How realistic is it that you're going to get this number six? Because indeed, he's going to cost you next to 100 mil. So is Declan Rice. Who else is really out there? You know, because Fabinho's...
I've been saying Bissouma for ages. I do not want Ndidi. I do not, because I think Ndidi has some clumsy moments as well for Leicester. The same, and Declan Rice, he doesn't break between the lines the way people talk like he does. Like, defensively solid.
Samuel, you got Fred at the moment. Can you really be picking and choosing?
You got me red-handed. In 4K. Fred is just... he's such a calamity. I don't understand how he keeps getting game time, honestly. Like, I think it's because Van der Beek still plays very short passes. He doesn't try anything. He's a bit too safe. But Fred is... he's so awful.
But you know, can I make a comparison between, because you know what Fred reminds you of? Fred is very reflective of Ollie. Fred and McTominay are very reflective of Ollie. And I say that to say this. I think that, like, them men are not shit. You know what I mean? They're all right. Like, I've seen Fred pop some good performance. I remember that PSG game. They're not shit. But, so they're not shit enough to really, like, you know, say we need to go out and spend 100 million on some midfielders. But also, they're not good enough to take you to the next level. And I see a parallel between Ollie. Like, Ollie's a nearly man. Ollie's never going to be bad enough to be sacked. Like, I don't think he's ever going to be good enough to be... take you to the Premier League or Champions League. I've got a question, man.
I've never watched him play, but I've seen him keep playing Leicester now. That Boubacari Tomori guy, Is he any good? Do you think we should have gone for him instead?
No.
You don't? Oh, okay, sure.
No.
Everyone keeps gassing over him, and I'm just thinking, maybe we should have gone in. But I've never seen him play, so I can't really give you an assist.
Nah, I've seen him. He's okay, but it's not what we need right now. Like, we need results right now, kind of thing. Like, I think a DM is more important. Because even if not a DM, a capable centre mid. I think it doesn't even have to be a DM anymore. Just someone who can pass the ball out from midfield, be composed, handle tight spaces, handle the press. Like, it's basic stuff.
Yeah, I hear you, but I think you lot look way more dangerous when Pogba was able to go into midfield and Rashford was able to go left wing again. Like, because when he went left wing, it was actually being dangerous.
Yeah, Oli takes years to make them changes. That's why I agree when people say, oh, Oli won't take us to the next level. Because I feel like when you see a problem, you want to change it straight away. But he will wait until the extreme. So it's like most of the substitutions are defo in the 80th minute. And it's like, why? Why are you waiting so long to make a change? Like, what?
Recently, his substitutions have been better, innit? But
that's because we're winning.
I hear that. But when you get to certain instances, maybe you should do a little bit better. But I'm gonna go on and get a subjective opinion. I'll come to Reece and Kiana in a minute, but they've had a lot of airtime in it. So I'm going to go to Joel. From a neutral perspective, what did you think of the game in general? And who are players that stood out for you from a Liverpool standpoint?
Okay, so obviously that game, it was quite funny for me. I was trolling United fans throughout that whole game. I did predict that it would be a Liverpool win. I went with a 3-1 win, but it ended up 4-2.
What made you so confident in Liverpool?
Because I feel like from time there was no Maguire in the back line, like, I don't know where people started rating this Eric Bailly guy, like, thinking that he was some world-class defender or something. That I knew he was going to get exposed. And with Fabinho not playing centre-back and him playing in the midfield, I knew it would be harder for Man United to break them down. I just find it funny that they let a defensive striker score a brace against them. It's quite that just makes me laugh and just shows that, you know, the fact that you didn't have Maguire at the back there in terms of his leadership as well really affected them. I was actually impressed with Nathaniel Phillips. As I said, I feel like he's Liverpool's version of Rob Holding. Like, maybe not this season, yeah, but Rob Holding for a while was one of Arsenal's most underrated performers. And I feel like Nathaniel Phillips has done really well, considering this is like his first real season playing, especially for Liverpool. And, you know, he's done well. And I feel like he made sure that a player like Reece Williams, who was playing next to him, didn't really have much to do. He didn't really have to feel out of place. So, you know, it's a great credit, especially like when you're filling in for such high profile players. And the fact that you've given your manager that decision to say, look, you don't need to play Fabinho in the back line. Me and the young lad, we can do a job here today. And, you know, I feel like that really impressed me. And as usual, Jota, when he plays, he did his thing. I just feel like the highlight of the game wasn't even in the game for me. The highlight was when Mane snubbed Klopp's
handball.
That was hilarious, because it started bearing the
beat. We're gonna get into that, because I feel like if we get into that now, it's gonna turn into an inquest.
Yeah.
And when I say Liverpool fans, I mean Tiana. So let's stick to the topic matter at hand.
Can I just add to his shout for Nat Phillips? So, like, I think even people not giving him credit for hustling back, like, you could easily score an own goal and you're just deflated. That didn't stop him that whole entire match. And that goal, Jota's goal, was because of the hustle. Like, I really appreciate Nat's work ethic, because even though it was going wide, like, he wanted that shot back for himself. Like, he was just trying to, you know, like, just make us forget that he gave away an own goal. Like, he hustled so hard for that. And I felt like the momentum of the game really shifted after that.
I agree that. Yeah. Keanu, we had a discussion on Clubhouse yesterday about Nat Phillips. Despite, I think he's done a really good job, and I'm really happy that he came in and hopefully, you know, I think he's done a lot to raise the stock. But in my opinion, where Liverpool want to go to get back to the level of last season, the season before last, players like Nat Phillips, what can't really be starting the game, and like, in my opinion, can't even really be in the squad. So I hope.
You don't even think he has a squad role to play, Reece? Yeah,
to be honest, because this is how I see squads. I think squads should have profiles of players. So, for example, Liverpool, we know we play that high line. So, in my opinion, our centre backs need to all be able to play that high line very comfortably. They need to be fast, you know, and that's not Nat Phillips' game. He's really good in the air. You know, he's a per aerial presence, and like I said, he's done really well this season. But I do think that if we do get an offer for him at 15 million or so, we should try and use that and reinvest it to get like a centre back that fits our style of play more. Because I'd hate to be in a situation next season where he's starting loads of games again, if I'm being totally honest. Even though I appreciate what he's done, but had some big performances. Come on, man. You know, look at us to see. We need to compete with players, not teams like City, who have got, you know, 4 or 5 centre backs worth 50 mil plus. Do you know what I mean? Come on, we need to compete.
Yeah, fair enough. Abdi, I'll get another subjective view. What did you think of the game yesterday, and who are players that stood out from you from the Liverpool side primarily?
I call it Firmino. I was very... He had a very good game yesterday. I don't know, in terms of how he was playing the game, dictating the pace of the game. The midfield looked very comfortable in Thiago as well. I was impressed with Firmino, believe it or not. The way he played this game was the Firmino we all used to know, you know, scoring them clutch goals when needed. And he's got his first goal in 16 games. So that just tells you a lot how, you know, how he hasn't played and scored goals in a very long time. But yeah, no, honestly, it was a very good, strong performance from Liverpool. Obviously, leading errors from United, some errors to goals kind of helped as well. But other than that, yeah, it was a very good game, thrilling game.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you echo the sentiments, Boaz, from what you saw?
I think Liverpool played well. I think they deserve a victory. I was really impressed by Trent. I think he's really come back with, like, since being dropped for England, come back with some really good performances. He was even winning the ball back, crossing, really good passing. I think it was just a really good performance, and just poor performance by Man United. Like, he just capitulated, and it showed.
Where do you think that came from? Where did the capitulation from? Where did it all go wrong for Man United yesterday?
I just think that, like, the players which should be performing for you guys just weren't performing. Like, you could say that Fernandes got a goal and Cavani got an assist, but and were contributing in the game, but these are the players that usually save you when you're 1-0 down, but they weren't doing the real work. And even, like, other players, like your McFreds, and it was just poor performances from key players. Like, Shaw made a really key mistake. And obviously, yeah, he's had a great season, so you can give him the benefit of the doubt. But unfortunately, he did make a mistake which led to a goal. And I think across the whole pitch, there was just mistakes and bad performances. So I don't know whether it's because you guys just weren't in it, or too many games put together in a short period of time. But you guys need to wake up, really.
Yeah. Yep.
Wakey, wakey.
Thank you for the ad-lib, Kiana. Richard, I'll come to you. Obviously, Boaz mentioned Cavani. He's recently signed a contract extension for another season at Manchester United. What was your reaction? And do you think Man United still need to break the bank for another striker, or do you feel as if this is the time they should start investing in other areas, as they might have proved yesterday?
Yeah, well, I still feel like we need to improve on other areas first before we think about getting another striker. I feel like we've got a very good number 9 in the making with Greenwood. But yeah, a game like yesterday tells you that we need a DM first. We did want a centre-back. We still want a centre-back. To partner Maguire. But yeah, it's DM first. We need someone to bring that midfield before we have a striker. But I think Cavani is good for another year. But then, yeah, we still need to think about getting another striker after next year. After next season. We'll need a striker, I think, based on how good Martial is. Greenwood's still growing. I don't expect him to be getting 20 goals a season yet. So, yeah, let's get
the end
first, not striker.
Yeah. Dami, what was your reaction to Cavani signing a contract? Do you feel as if are you content with Cavani as the leading striker for next season? Or do you think Man United, because the general consensus that I get amongst Man United fans is that we need to get a world-class striker ASAP. We shouldn't wait. People might not necessarily be available. We should break the bank, get a striker in the ilk of like a Harry Kane or Erik Haaland. Obviously, the name's been mooted. Or do you feel as if we should be content with a stopgap in Cavani and maybe concentrate on other areas?
Yeah, I think Reece touched on it earlier. I think we've got priorities. I'd say we need a CDM first, then we need a centre-back mech, and then after that, then we can start looking at getting a centre forward. But I don't, I think, depending on who we scout, I think Callum Robinson from Fulham, I think he's quite good in the back. I don't know if Man United were too big for him or what. Well, sometimes we'll be like, he's not good enough. He's played for relegation, certain team, whatever. But I reckon if we're not going to go and get Varane and we are going to get Kane, which I don't know if we will do or not, we still need maybe a cheap option of centre back, and we still need the CDM. I would rather us keep Cavani for the season, because unfortunately we still have Martial in our team, so he's going to stay for next season. We've still got Greenwood. We've still got Rashford. We've got Armatore. He can help out. I think he'll be good for next season. So there's some available options there. We've got Pogba, we can play in the front three if we need to. So you've got enough there to rotate. So it shouldn't be too bad, but
do you feel as if those striking options, so imagine in a perfect world, we get a Jadon Sancho, you add him into the mix, we get a CDM,
yeah,
we get a centre-back. Do you feel as if that current crop is enough to at least challenge for a Premier League title?
Depends who it is. If we get the people that I think we can get, if we get Varane, if we get Sancho, I don't know about CDM, but he looks like maybe Bissouma, then yeah, I don't see why we can't. Because there's a good enough team there. If you look here, there's enough good, decent players and strength and depth for us to challenge. And if we don't, then we all know what the problem is. I'm not going to say it because I'm not allowed to. But yeah, I feel like if we get those three players that I've just mentioned now, I feel like we've got enough players there to at least challenge and go further in the Champions League, maybe win a trophy as well. So it depends on what we do, but I still say strengthen up at the back, get that solid. We scored, I think we're like two or three top goals in the league, I could be wrong. So we still have a problem scoring goals, we just have a problem maybe scoring a big game. But I feel like we need to just stop conceding goals. Once we do that, we can build forward and progress. But yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel, Deli? Do you feel as if it's as easy as that once we feel the cogs?
I agree. To be honest, I don't think goal scoring or even creating chances has been a problem this season. I think the issue has been defensively and in midfield. There's been too many games that we've lost where we're not taking control of the game. Even from the beginning, like, everyone's saying, yeah, it's a good job that we're making comebacks, but I don't feel like it's a good situation that we keep conceding first. I feel like the midfield is too empty. I think we need to deal with the CDM position first. Then we can think about CDM defense first, and then we can think about up top. But honestly, as misfiring as Rashford has been, Cavani's already started scoring, and Greenwood's already started scoring again. We seem to be doing okay. So I think dealing with the midfield, dealing with the centre-backs, and then we can move forward from there, really.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I'll go back to the Liverpool side of things. I'll ask the hard-hitting question. If you aren't, I'm going to put you in the hot seat. Was Mane right not to shake Klopp's hand? And can we read much into it?
No, because first of all, I wouldn't want anyone to think that I condone any kind of disrespect. Like it was a pound. It wasn't like a hug where he could have pushed him. Like it was, and just even the timing of it and how visible it was. I'm not going to say disrespect is condonable. What I can say is that if you're trying to build the confidence of a player, and when he does produce, he's either subbed or he doesn't start or he comes in after half. Like, I don't know what the response. I don't know what the response is. But what I do like is that any type of where it looks like there's any type of like venom between the two, I feel like there's always people zoning in on Mane like that's characteristic of him. And it's really not. Like, I've seen him get upset because he's not getting calls. Like, I've never seen him like this before. He's all smiles. It's all smiles, even to the point where people actually think he thinks his poor form is a joke. Someone actually said that. Get rid of this guy because he just keeps smiling. Okay. But no, it's not. The disrespect is not condonable. But at the same time, I understand that level of frustration because I'm nowhere near that level. And I know I get pissed off for less. I've walked off the field for less. So if people are expecting him to, for it to be all fun and games when you're really not sure why, and like, and you've seen it in the media where the man's saying that he's been talking to doctors and trying to figure out what's going on with him and there's nothing physically wrong. So is it all in his head? I guess so. And if it is, then what is being done to encourage him to be able to focus on the glimpses that we see of like just back to his regular form? So I don't know. It's really stressful to watch. He's my favorite player and it's super stressful to watch, but I'm not 100% worried, and Klopp is just going to brush it off like he usually does. But like, these guys are competitors. They want to play. And I think it was just a little bit more of a headline because it was off the back of a win. Like if the tables were turned and it was a loss, I don't think people would give it that much fire. But yeah, it's kind of tough to see one of your big players vex after a win. And then when I put the pieces together, I just think that he just needs some type of, I don't know, just a stretch where he can get a rhythm going after he's performed, after a goal. And I haven't seen that.
Yeah. For me personally, I feel as if there's not really much to read into. I feel as if it's just the media trying to make mountains out of molehills. I've seen Mane come off after you guys were beating Crystal Palace 7-0 and he still looked pissed off. So I feel as if he's just really passionate in that sense.
Yeah. I slightly disagree with Keanu because I feel like he's had the stretch of games. Like, he played, like, started like loads of games in a row when Butter was injured and wasn't firing. So I mean, he's had
something done with Mane.
Yeah, but has he had that stretch of game after he's come back with a goal or something?
That's his business for not scoring. He needs to score. He's on the pitch to score. You know what I mean? If he's not scoring,
he's not listening. I'm saying when he is scoring, he's subbed or he doesn't start.
I know, but we can't like ignore the purple patches he's gone through this year. I'm a big Mane fan. I love Mane, but he's been in bad form this season, and that's kind of no one's fault but his own. And
that's a fact.
Yeah, and I think Klopp has put trust in him. I think it's not a big deal at all. I don't think, like, it's not really worth talking about, but yeah, please just apologise.
I love the inquest, man, between the two.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of fans that have jealousy because our players are passionate. You know, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, he just go along, happy.
The thing is, I need to address that. You keep saying
No, it's not. There's jealousy there. You know, it's jealousy because we won a Champions League and then we won the Premier League.
No, there's no jealousy.
You would kill to have a manager like Klopp, would you, or would you not? Are you going to lie right
now? No, we would.
I would kill him like Klopp, but the situation is Mane, isn't it? We're talking about Mane right now. What's the
only question? You would kill to have a right winger like Mane, would you not?
Not right now, no.
The only reason I wouldn't for the last few seasons, as poor as Rashford's been, he's been matching Mane.
So. No, I said Mane on the right wing. Rashford plays left wing. I said Mane plays right wing. On the right wing.
I saw you play left.
He started
right and went solid.
Yeah, so he can play both.
We're changing things for agenda. Is that what we're doing?
Hear me out. When Mane first came, he played a whole season on right wing and then he got moved up to left.
He's
been left wing for how many seasons?
He's like 30.
Can I give you a stat?
He's been left.
In Southampton, was he not playing left wing?
Can I give you a stat?
Left since Salah started.
There's no Premier League player that has more goals with their weaker foot, more like a high percentage of goals with their weaker foot than Sadio Mane? Are you aware of that, guys?
Yep.
What's that to do with what we're saying right now, though?
Let me explain to you, because that's showing that he's a both-footed player, so he can play on either flank and still thrive, shown by his Liverpool record. So you would kill to have him in your team, and he can lie if he wants to, but you would kill. Come on, man, let's be real.
All right, guys, we'll move on, because this is becoming a Man United Liverpool inquest. I'll finish this last question.
When are we going to get to Arsenal?
we're going to get to Arsenal very soon. Should Liverpool have had a penalty? That's an open question.
Yeah, they should have. Oh, well, which one? For the bye?
For the bye, challenger.
No.
Against Nat, no.
I think that was just a follow-through. So I don't
if you're saying the Matong situation, then yeah.
Okay, but let's do this. And let's be honest here, innit? We won the game already, so I got no dog in the race at the moment. If that was anywhere else in the pitch, that would be a foul. And we know that. Come on. Like, so it's a penalty. Like, just because it's in the box, you want to do up VAR and go and check things. Like, if that was anywhere else in the pitch that was not in the box, it would be a foul. And that's why, in my opinion, it's a penalty.
No, I said yes, but I meant no. No. I don't agree with that. Only because where the contact was, it's like, what else with a player emotion? What else are they supposed to do?
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
And I think that's what the argument was as well. Like, you couldn't do anything. Like, you got the ball, the follow-through was just unfortunate. Like, it was a clash of knees. It wasn't even a clash of, like, foot to, like, leg. It was, like, a clash of knees, so...
In my opinion, it was violent conduct, in my opinion. Could have really hurt him.
Shameless.
because Nat's momentum made him, like, made it a lot more ridiculous looking than it was. Like, they were both going for it, but I think... That.
It was clumsy from Baye, in my opinion.
Do you not feel as if he was reckless or clumsy in Baye's part?
It's characteristic of his game. We know he's a clumsy defender, but in my opinion, like I said, if that was anywhere else in the pitch, I don't think we know that would be a foul. So I want the same energy kept, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but that's VAR and you're not going to get that.
That's Gloucester United. But yeah. Unless anyone has any more words to share... We'll move on to the next game. It was Chelsea v Arsenal at Stamford Bridge. Arsenal running away 1-0 winners. Can someone quote me on the last time Arsenal beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge?
It's been a minute.
DJ, have you got the answer to that question?
I do not have the answer, but I can tell you it has been a long, long time.
I'm pretty sure it was the last time RVP scored a hat trick. I think that's either 2012 or 2013. So
yeah, it would have been 2012.
Yeah, I think 2012. So PJ, I'll go back to you. What was your reaction from that unlikely victory?
It says 2011, by the way.
2011.
Yeah,
10 years
ago.
2011.
Damn it, man.
Wow. A decade ago. PJ, reaction, a decade old. Arsenal finally get the win at Stamford Bridge. About yourself.
When I'm doing the maths on that one, that is almost half my life. That's a massive lead, that is. That is actually crazy. I do want to be shameless and try to say like the better team won, innit?
Don't do that.
At the end of the day,
don't do that, please. Don't be shameless.
I'm going to be shameless. The better team won. We took our opportunity in the game.
Okay. Let me stop you right there because we need to be straight to the fact. what have you done to the game for you to be saying, "Oh, we the better team won"? When we give you guys the goal.
Wait, can I ask you a question though?
Yeah, sure.
Did you score?
No, we didn't, but that's exactly because it was 1-0. So you already know that.
Okay.
but let's get into facts, right? Aside from the goal we gave you, what have you done in the game?
I feel like when you actually play the game of football, shameless plug there, baller in the house. When you play the game of football, yeah, you realize that a game is won and lost on moments. And at the end of the day, you know, the Jorginho decided to be worthless. And you see what it is? I really feel for Jorginho because I feel like Jorginho has been one of those players that's been performing under the radar for Chelsea for a while and he still gets a lot of stick. But that did not help his case at all. It's actually a really good save from Kepa, to be fair. and it's not something that we're quite used to. But you know,
but wait, you've yet to answer your question.
Lamica's errors always happen when Kepa's in goal. It's just.
I was gonna say that, but I was gonna let him finish.
So obviously, at the end of the day, ESR little scuff shot, you know, the crid and the Brunner, it was all in the technique, to be honest. Tucks it in off the post. He did what he had to do. And then you know what? We realized that, you know, Chelsea are a team that have almost taken Man United's game plan to a different level, because Chelsea a lot of the time do operate on a very good counter-attacking system, especially when you're playing a three-back, which is a bit of a cheat code, but, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, they know that they're going to want to counter-attack a lot of the time. And we know that in the Arsenal squad, we do not have the players to say, you know, let's go out and make this an evenly balanced game. And, you know, because we know that in the transition, we'll get caught. Chelsea will absolutely annihilate us on the counter, especially the fact that you didn't start a player like Giroud meant that you came there, that you were at your own ground setting up to counter-attack a lot of the time. But you know what? Mikel Arteta, I'll give it to him. He was smart. He said, you know what? We're going to let you have the ball. You can have the ball. As long as we set up with two banks of four, or even a bank of four, a bank of five.
And the bus as well, that you left at the bridge as well. Yeah, don't forget the bus.
It was a big one.
But when
you have a game plan, if you execute, if you come to somewhere and you execute your game plan and you walk away with 3 points, you haven't failed. You've done exactly what you set out to do. And okay, we didn't need to attack you, because as soon as we got that one goal, we knew, boy, we don't need to attack you.
That's a shameless statement, but let me just finish this conversation off real quick. Us giving you the goal doesn't mean you're the better team. If we're looking at the whole game in itself, we should have won that game, if we're being honest. Have we had...
Based on what, Abdi?
If we were clinical with Havertz on a one-on-one where he skied it off, I don't know how he missed
that. Hasn't been a problem all season.
You see what the thing about that one there is? Because... You're talking about how you gave us that opportunity. We presented that opportunity to Havertz on the plate, and the difference is...
What about Zuma's header that hit a crossbar? What about then Giroud's follow-up that hit a crossbar? Are we saying that, the better team won where we was unlucky?
So you, man, hit the... You know crossbar shots are shots off target, right?
You haven't done nothing the whole game. You scored a goal. You've passed the whole ball throughout the game. You, man, are shameless. You lot are 10th. So I understand where you're coming from in the sense that if... To me, honestly, it's like when it comes to Arsenal, where we give you guys a charity game, and it's what it is, and we'll give you guys 3 points.
Charity game? We've done the double of you this season in our worst ever season. Like, come on, let's not do that.
But you're still shameless. Your team is shameless. Our manager, I don't know why he's still questioning you guys. But anyways, long story short, I can't stand there. You say the better team won when we all know that wasn't the case. And that's
let me actually finish this. What I'm going to say is that in a game of football, hitting the crossbar counts as, it doesn't count as shots on target. Those counts as shots off target. So technically, those chances you're talking about were two shots off target. Like, that's what the stats are going to show at the end of the day. But also, the most important stat is going to show that we won the game 1-0. And also, you know what? It's not every time that people have to come and play Pep Guardiola attacking football or possession-based football. You don't need to do that. At the end of the day, if a team executes their game plan better than their opponent and they win the game by executing their game plan, I have every right to say we played better than you because we executed our game plan. Simple.
If you're saying your game plan was to park the bus the whole game after the goal we gave you.
You know what? As much as we don't like it, it is a game plan. You know? I feel like sometimes we get upset with teams being defensive. What should Arsenal have done? Chelsea move very well on counter attack. They, you know what I mean. But the one thing is they've not been clinical at all this season. So I can't lie. I think sitting back, as cheap as it is, as much as we don't like it, it's worked.
It's funny how PJ said that Chelsea have a cheat code in playing a back three when isn't the biggest cheat code. Playing so defensive, and you had a Aubameyang
shameless.
Yeah. You had a Aubameyang playing a centre back. Like, don't you realize that?
Yeah, let's not do that. He wasn't playing.
No, he wasn't
playing on the D. He was playing on the D.
Wow.
On your own D. Not
so you can't say game plan and say, oh, yeah, we've executed well when 11 players was literally in your own half in your own box. You can't be saying that. That's
but
not
I'm confused.
Plan.
I'm confused. Is that not part of the game plan, though? Like, look, what the hell?
Look, what I would say is congratulations on executing your game plan. Are you proud of your game plan? That's a question you need to discuss with yourself and Arteta at the end of the day.
We're proud of the 3 points.
Look, then again, it's coming from an Arsenal point of view. So at this point, it's charity. And you man, a charity club. We all know it. So it's fine.
When Saka was lobbing the best goalkeeper in the Premier League in the reverse picture, it wasn't charity points.
Bro. You didn't mean that. Don't do that. The truth of the matter is, we couldn't care less about this game, innit? We got a final to play for tomorrow. We got Champions League final to play for. So this game is classified as a charity game.
Oh, no, don't say that. Too.
I'm sorry, I have to.
You know what the maddest thing is?
We are not the same based on one game.
I'll take that just as a response to the better team one part.
I think
if he didn't say that, then he wouldn't talk about the charity game.
Chelsea just best hope they win at least one of those. Because, you know, if you flop both of them...
You're sitting around challenging for mid-table.
That's actually like, shameless. Really.
That's the biggest flop, if you think about it. As Chelsea fans, we'll be disappointed if we don't get top four, we don't win the Champions League, and we don't win the FA Cup. Those are big ifs. But at the end of the day, Arsenal are not competing for any of those.
I'll just laugh.
If you lose all the finals, you'll still have the same amount of trophies this season as us. In fact, we've even got to, let me be shameless of shape. We even have to be shameless from the beginning of the season. So we'd even still have more trophies.
But then again, that's coming from an Arsenal point of view. That's your team, bro. I honestly couldn't care less how
it's,
your temper
is. It's funny how you're proud about that. Like, you're proud about being...
It's like an achievement at this point. You might actually won your first game against Chelsea. It's fresh in the show, bro.
It's the Vim for me. It's my
you know this is what I mean, though, when I say you shouldn't have fallen into the trap, because Arsenal fans are going to be shameless because they know
that you're so shameless. I'm sorry, bro. I can never let Arsenal run games on me. I'm sorry, bro.
Let me go to Damien. I want to get his subjective opinion because it's just becoming an inquest between EJ and the rest of the Chelsea.
No, it's just being shameless statements, bro. I can't have that, bro.
Wait, it's subjective, right?
Damien,
for an hour.
Do you feel as if it was a game plan executed to perfection, or do you feel as if Chelsea were unlucky?
I think the best of both worlds. Arsenal know this shit. They just camped in the box, and Chelsea just couldn't score. But Chelsea fans can't really be sitting here on their high horse talking about game plans and parking the bus, because I swear that's what they're known for.
I'm not coming at you, but I need you to understand something. We don't park the bus, we just defend very well. We're very structured in
our
when have we parked the bus? Against what team exactly have we parked the bus?
What I mean is I don't mean as in season. I'm talking about you're known for being the English team that pumped
the Mourinho days are over, bro. Now
that's
talking
okay, you know what I mean?
I understand where you're coming from, but we're involved in a scene where we've got a new manager in place now. And if you look
what I will say is, though, we're parking the bus. When your team does it and you win, you'll be obviously like, I didn't know we won. When your team gets done over by you, you'll be pressed.
No, but you see, Danny, I wish you met me years ago, bro. You see, I'm not shameless like that, bro. I would have told you, listen, we parked the bus the whole game. We decided we scored a goal, so be it. We parked the bus, we move. But I'm not going to be sitting here with my chest and say, the better team won because we parked the bus. I can't do that, bro.
Oh, I agree.
That's who I am as a person. If you met me in Mourinho days, you would have made the same Abdi that is speaking to you currently right now, bro. Honestly, I'll give you how it is, bro.
He cares about the aesthetics of the game. He doesn't care about the results. He's a footballer. He's a real
I think football's quite boring now anyway, so never happens.
No, that's another topic in of itself. I'm not able to get into that right now. But Kiana, did you catch the game?
I caught, I didn't really care to watch it, to be honest. I just wanted to know what the result was going to be. And it went the way that I wanted it to go. But I'm not going to lie. I think Chelsea have a great squad. And that's where the chat about them being about them going to be the contenders for next season. Like, they really have to check themselves about those comments, though, because as much as they have in terms of talent, it's just for some reason there's still things that aren't connecting, and it's crazy to see. Like, Havertz had that to me looked like an open goal. He should have put that away easily, and it just went straight into space. And I was like, where was that supposed to go, and why? Like, it just didn't. They just looked like they were trying so hard, and that's why I can't say that the better team won. But the tactic to sit and defend and then attack, like, it was, I thought, executed very well for that. But it wasn't fun to watch. They had a lot of chances, and they just did not put anything away, which just takes them back to what it looked like before Tuchel was there and what he was working with when he got there. But then now they're just saying greatest manager of all. Like, I don't even want to get into the accolades that he's already been given from January. But today, well, yesterday was like, stop. They need to stop and relax and just really figure out how they're going to put these pieces together and make them work consistently. Like, not against teams that they should be beating. That's the thing. Like, that's a Liverpool thing too. It's just like the games that you should be putting away were 1-0 or drawing. Like, come on, I'm over that.
But you know what it is? If I'm being honest with you, I think you guys are missing the context of we got two very important finals to play for. So if we had a full team, and we all know what a full team in Chelsea looks like, playing against Arsenal, would you still say, would you still think we would have lost the game against Arsenal?
But I think the squad that you had
should have
still
beat Arsenal. It was a pretty strong lineup,
the lineup you had should have beat Arsenal.
Yeah. I feel like that excuse is pants because you're still, the team was still good.
Okay, think about Man City, for example. So there's been times where Guardiola has changed 8 players in a game, right? Mm-hmm. We all know Man City squad, it's great depth. Any team that Guardiola puts out should win on paper, right? But we all know that Man City, especially over the last like couple of games, as they've had other things they've been competing against, they've lost against teams that they should have won, right? Am I wrong? So what I'm saying
is, arguably.
So Tuchel made 7 changes in this game. That's the most he's ever made. Mm-hmm. When you make changes in any game, obviously we're thinking about the final on the weekend. When you make any change, it's gonna have an impact on the way the team flows, which you saw in the game. And has an impact on the way the team performs. So Tuchel came out at the end of the game and admitted that he made a mistake.
Yep.
And that's what I want from a manager. Like, at the end of the day, okay, cool, we didn't win. Would I say the best team won? No, it wasn't.
But at the same time, though, would you say the team's still not good enough to beat Arsenal? That's what we're saying.
So what I'm saying is the team that played.
I feel like we're hiding behind the whole change thing, but
Arsenal was parking the bus the whole game, right? How can you break a team when they have 11 players? Who would do that?
Abby,
Liverpool used to do that. I feel like you're hiding behind that. Tyler, before
you run down the starting lineup, because I even think that's a stupid task to do. But what I would say is, obviously, if you think about it, the Chelsea team which started should be beating a team which is mid-level on the table. Yes, you're right. That should happen. But it didn't happen. And obviously, we as Chelsea fans need to accept that as a fact. But what I would say is, we went down fighting. We had chances. We didn't convert them. Yes, we need to go back to the training field and work on our finishing, sure. But it's not because we didn't try. Like, we had more shots on target.
Do you think that's a thing to do now with Havertz and obviously Werner just being terrible finishers?
I feel like it's a bit harsh on Havertz, because before that he was killing it against Real Madrid, but no one wants to talk about it. But he's getting, huh?
He was.
I don't know. Sorry, go on. It's the consistency.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably the first time he's missed a big opportunity like that. So let's not act like he wasn't the one that provided the goal for Werner. If he scored that low chip that he did against Courtois, we were all praising him now. You know, let's be honest, he hit the crossbar, he was unlucky, but he's been such an elegant player to play. And let's not forget, it's the first time he's played false number 9 straight from the start against Arsenal in a long time. So you know, I'm not going to make excuses for my team. We should have won. We didn't. Arsenal won. Congratulations, charity team. It's all good. At the end of the day, we got our priorities somewhere else, and that's what it is. We should put it through to tomorrow. And
all I'm saying is,
and let's not forget that Werner has top FA Cup final.
You don't win the FA Cup final, been for nothing.
Yeah, okay, and if we do win somehow the FA Cup and the Champions League, what do we say then?
And kudos to Tuchel when he gets.
No, I want to hear from Joao. I want to hear from him. I didn't ask for
you. Rather from the sunset.
Yeah, I want to hear from Joao.
Oh, you're asking me?
He's got you, man.
Because listen, I've spoken to Taiwo, I've spoken to Boaz, Samuel, is this the first time? Kiana, is your first time here? Obviously, we were still in discussion, so I thought, let's end it on that sort of discussion. Because you brought it up right now, so I thought, let me ask Joel, what's his view on if we win two trophies? I've yet to hear what he has
If you win two trophies,
yeah,
then you win two trophies. What am I meant to do about it? No, am I going to take it away from you?
Can't do it. So, okay, it's very blunt, but okay, it's okay. All right, nothing less expected.
Bro, you can win your two trophies. You still didn't beat Arsenal this season.
But we're still better than you. But we're still better than you. We'll still finish with two trophies. You have zero trophies. No Europe, nothing.
Oh, no. Chelsea around.
Where do we go from there? Nowhere.
Chelsea around, bro.
You might football against Villarreal in Europa League. Thursday night football.
Hey, bro.
You're talking 3 points against Chelsea. You're alive.
Bro, you best pray to a higher power that you win these trophies. Because I'm going to throw you so
we have more chance of winning than you are. But obviously, you wouldn't know that, but... let's move along because this charity FC.
I'm trying to get my composure. I'll probably wrap it up now, unless there's anything else that Chelsea fans want to say.
No, hold on. Can I ask Chelsea fans some questions? Because they're talking about players and stuff like that. Do you think what Tuchel has done is what we would expect from Lampard?
In what sense? What pundits put it to?
Because for a period of time, a lot of pundits, a lot of football commentators were all saying the team wasn't good enough for that. It wasn't really Lampard; it was the team. Now, with the team as good as it is now, would you still say, apart from obviously your striker options, would you say the team needs mad improvement?
If you're looking at the team that Lampard hired before he got sacked and what the Tuchel inherited, it's the same team. What you're lacking to understand is the tactics are not the same in Lampard and Tuchel. And that's a huge difference in 4 months. You can see what he did in 4 months and what Lampard did. I'm not saying Lampard did a shit job for us to get in the top four, but he did it without us getting no transfer period, trial game, nothing. He still managed to get top four and win the Champions League, top group, at the group stages in the Champions League. So I feel like it comes down to tactics, and I feel like that's where Lampard fell short this season. We were underperforming quite a lot of the games. If you look at the games, a lot of people were banned to Chelsea for not performing against the smaller team. And as you can see, we were awful. But then now you looked at Tuchel and you can see that those Chelsea players are actually playing for him. And you can see that the idea of the manager is clicking and it's working. Yeah. But obviously, if you're looking at what we're missing right now, and it's all clear to see that we're lacking a striker that can finish. But then are we able to challenge to an extent against next season against the likes of City and Liverpool? Potentially. I'm not debating, but what you can't take away from the 4 months that he did to come in mid-season and to do what he did, you have to give him some sort of credit, because not a lot of managers would come in half-season being a lot of managers, world-class managers, and that's facts.
I think under Lampard Lampard had the issue of he didn't have experience. Like, obviously Tuchel has the experience of being able to get the best out of players. Like, when you look at experienced managers in the Premier League, like your Brendan Rodgers or your Pep Guardiola, they're able to get the best out of the players. Like, the Man City team at the moment, I wouldn't say individually is the best Man City team there's ever been, but Guardiola has the skill of getting the best out of them, and so does Tuchel. Like, he's able to bring that experience in. Lampard didn't have that advantage. Like, obviously, yeah, he did well at Derby, but he hasn't had the experience of being able to get the best out of a bunch who aren't yet ready. Like, at the very beginning of the season, we had 8 signings who, some of them weren't used to playing in the Premier League, didn't have a preseason, and were still just trying to find their feet. So Tuchel's benefited from having this experience, but then also the players actually being more comfortable playing in the league and getting more confidence. So That'll be my answer.
Sorry, last question. Do you feel like you guys have a good chance against City, or are you worried? So I think that's the game everyone cares about. I don't really think many people really care about the FA Cup. Like, obviously, we use it to troll you, but okay, realistically, everyone's looking at the Champions League situation.
Let's put the Champions League into discussion now. Yeah. Cool. We all know that we've been seed twice now. Obviously, it wasn't a full seed team that everyone's known about. It's okay, I understand. But in a 50-50 game, in a final, especially in the final, we all know what Guardiola is like. He loves to take bets and he loves to gamble. And sometimes he can be nervous himself in terms of his team selection. So you never know what to expect from him himself. But I feel like we've rested our players enough to be at least competing against the likes of City. Would we think we can edge it? Potentially, yes. I still feel like potentially we can win the Champions League. I'm not saying City hasn't got a chance. To me, it looks like a 50-50 and potentially both teams can win it. But I like to think that we should have enough to go through and beat City in the league, in the Champions League, and make it 3-0. And I feel like we outclassed them on those two last previous games that we played them. Okay, we haven't played a full team, but you can see that the tactics that Tuchel did in both two games were two different tactics, and on two occasions won the tactics battle against Guardiola. So it'll be interesting to see how they all set out tactically. But I feel like, you know, I can only dream to win it. So, you know, it's, we'll see how it goes. But to me, I'm vouching for Chelsea to win it, bro, if I'm honest. That's it, really.
What I'm saying is getting away from the Champions League. I'm praying for my player, Ian Archer, to back tomorrow.
The title, we're just anti-Chelsea at this point. But if you answer your questions, that's how I feel.
We talk about my I would
answer the question in the same way in asking you a question, and that is, will Villarreal beat you?
No.
Nah.
Emery. Europa King. No?
No.
I don't think it'll beat us, to be honest. No. I feel like we need the rest we'll get from it. Hopefully we'll do what needs to be done, because I feel like that's the main issue our players have. Like, I think everyone's tired. Hopefully, what's his name comes back from injury, hopefully, but we'll have to wait and see. But I don't think he'll beat us, because they've had a poor season as well. In general, so
I think Arsenal just made them look better than.
Also, you guys have got very lucky because Chukwueze is injured for the rest of the season, and obviously, let's just say
Chukwueze is not crazy. We still would have won, man.
Huh? Let's have it real. Yeah, if Maguire, for example, wasn't going to recover in time for the final, and Chukwueze was fit, I feel like he would give your defenders a runaround. I'll be real. He would I'll be real. The only player he would try and avoid is Aaron Wan-Bissaka. And he'll go down the other side. He'll go down the middle. Moreno is a bit of a fox in the box. I feel like they would have had a chance. But now, I just don't see them. I honestly don't see Villarreal doing it. And I feel like it's going to be a very boring final, to be honest. Very, very boring final to watch.
Villarreal Chelsea Man City?
I don't know, man. I feel like we're gonna see. I feel like a lot of people are saying we don't know what Man City are gonna put out. I feel like we know exactly what Man City are gonna put out. Let's be real. Like, Raheem Sterling is not starting. We know that for a fact. Aguero is not starting. We know that for a fact. I think the only places that we're thinking there might be some rotation is we don't know if Cancelo is gonna start right back or he's gonna start left back. And we don't know if Kyle Walker's going to start. And we don't know if Zinchenko's going to start. We know who's going to start in goal. We know the two centre-backs who they're going to be providing there's no injuries. And that's why we're seeing Ake playing a lot now, even Eric Garcia, because he knows he doesn't want those players to be injured. Like, Diaz at the back is going to be very key playing next to John Stones. And we know that I feel like Phil Foden cemented his place. As far as I'm concerned, he will definitely play the final as long as Pep doesn't do his overthinking thing. I feel like they will start a false nine. I don't think Gabriel Jesus will start. I feel like Kevin De Bruyne will play as that false nine, which will allow a more solid midfield three of Gundogan, Fernandinho and KDB. And I feel like Mahrez will definitely play as well. But this is, you know, Pep is kind of unpredictable. So as long as he doesn't overthink, I feel like that is basically what he's going to play. But with Tuchel now, I actually don't know what he's going to play, because he could play like Havertz and try to play Werner as well and Pulisic. But then he could go the other way and he could play Pulisic, Werner, Mount. He could play anything. Like, I don't even know what formation he's going to play. I do feel like he will play that three at the back. And if he plays that three at the back, then Man City are a bit fucked because, excuse my language, but I feel like Man City, Pep will start overthinking it and thinking, oh, am I going to play a back three now? I'm going to play a back five. So, you know, I feel like Tuchel has the edge in terms of tactics, but in terms of personnel, I feel like Man City have the edge. So I feel like it's fairly balanced. There will be a good game. And we know Man City will try and attack and they'll have possession of the ball. And Chelsea will do something that, you know, they got onto Arsenal for doing. They will sit back and they will counterattack. That's what they will do. That's how I see the game going. And if they go and win based on that, you know, I don't want to hear it from City from Chelsea fans again talking about, oh, you guys sat back and like, come on, man.
All right, so let's put, okay, because it's getting boring now. So when we play against City in the FA Cup, did we set back, park the bus?
Wouldn't know. We wouldn't go as far as playing parking the bus, but it was definitely a pragmatic approach. Okay. Not as if you're playing extensive football.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's what maybe PJ, correct me if I'm wrong, was trying to infer, that Chelsea are going to run all guns blazing, but they're obviously going to contain City.
100%.
Because if we're talking about keeping the ball, we can all do that, to be honest. And in the final, you know, it's all good and fun to hold the ball, but if you can't do nothing with the ball, then there's no really point of, you know, holding the ball. But in order, I feel like I know how he's going to line this up against C. I feel like, for me, Havertz, Werner, Mount has to start up front. I think that's the best trio. I think he's found in that formation that those three, they work really well together. I feel like he knows that Mount can provide more offensively rather than in the midfield, in the absence of Kovacic. And then moving to the midfield, I wish the only thing I will change in midfield, I'll put in Kovacic instead of Jorginho and alongside Kante, and then have them two sitting down at centre mid. And then wing backs, I'll give it to Azpilicueta, Chilwell, and the back three usual suspects, Christensen, Thiago Silva, and Rudiger, and obviously Mendy in goal. And I feel like that's our best possible formation to be against City. And obviously off the bench, we all know what we got off the bench. We got a Pulisic that's ready to play when the C legs are tired. We got Ziyech that can pick up a ball. So we got quite the quality to be high in the C team as well. So it'll be interesting to see, but for now I just hold my breath because, you know, it's a final.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting time. It'll be interesting to see how both teams approach the game. But quickly, before I run through the player of the week, do we each want to go through who they feel win the Champions League final between Chelsea and Manchester City? I'll obviously not add Dean Boaz into that because we obviously know who they're going with. But Denny, who are you going for?
Slightly, I want Chelsea to win. I don't want City getting.
What about who do you think will go into it?
Honestly, truthfully, I think Chelsea might be able to steal it. I feel like it will make their season, considering how their season has gone, being so bad and then coming to the stage. I feel like it will just be the story that's kind of, you know. Well, I feel like both teams have a strong story to both win it, but I feel like Chelsea right now, I feel like they've overcome the way more than City have, if that makes sense, in terms of who they had to beat, when they had to beat them. So yeah. I feel like Chelsea have that kind of motivation behind them. And they've been, honestly, super solid defensively. Like, so I see Chelsea taking it. But it'll be a boring game, though.
My God. Kiana, who are you going with?
I'm going for the underdogs. I really don't care.
You have a good underdog story, don't you?
Sometimes. But I'm fine with Man City not winning something else, like in the same year. I'm totally good with that. I don't know. I really hope that this game for Arsenal, because I like the work that I've seen Chelsea doing with their squad. Like, I love the game more than I love a lot of things. And if I look at it, I just want to see a competitive league. I want to see good matches. Like, I don't know if this game is going to be boring, because I kind of feel like after the Arsenal loss that maybe there's just a lot of tweaks and things that are going to go on and with with strategies and just with your mentality approaching a game like that. So long-winded answer to Chelsea for me.
Wow, two Chelsea picks. Wow, I didn't expect that. Danny, who are you going for?
Him, I would love for Chelsea to win. I can't see how. I feel like Man City would do them over. It's rare that you see a team play, I think it was going to be 4,000 now, and one team wins or doesn't lose all of them. That already happened. Even when Man United beat Chelsea 3 times last season, we lost the Cup. So I feel like it plays itself out that way. I just see Pep silencing all these doubts, unfortunately. And Man United are going to play Man City in the UEFA Super Cup final. That's just me. That's just because it's going to happen. So, yeah.
Now that's a real fixture that everyone wants to tune into.
Yeah, that's what everyone's doing. This dead one. That's the UCL final. But it is what it is.
You guys wouldn't know that because you guys are not there, but it's okay, guys. You understand.
We will be. Don't worry about that. But yeah,
human, you make it past the group stages. It's human.
Funny guy. But we'll go to player of the week. Does anyone have a pick for player of the week?
Tweet. Does that include today?
For the brace against Palace.
If you do today. And you've got, what's his name?
This is for the last game week, Danny. So this is the midweek fixture. Yeah, I know he's going to pick, but yeah, nah. That'll be next pod.
Nobody has a player of the week. I'll give a player of the week for me to Firmino.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. I'll give it to Emi Martinez for Aston Villa. Pinching his 15th clean sheet of the season. Yep. I'll give that to him.
With a really good save towards the end as well.
Yeah, well deserved. Because a very strong Everton side, I feel like he made some very good saves for the whole game to keep that 0-0. So yeah, I'll give it to him.
Yeah, arguably.
I'll give it to Trent, to be honest. Trent had a good game against us. I think he was the main cog in that team, really. So I'll give it to Trent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess.
Honorable mention to Nat.
I'll second Trent.
This is all Matt. Everyone's giving it to Trent. I guess that cool innit did his thing. I guess I'm giving it to Danny Ings. I said Arsenal, but I'm giving it to Danny Ings, man. Back from injury, got a brace. He was, I believe, he was involved in. No, he wasn't involved in all three of the goals, but he did bag a brace. And you know, I feel like he's been heavily overlooked this season, especially considering that he's been injured a lot and he scored a high volume of goals for Southampton.
He's overlooked, to be honest.
Yeah, so I'll give it to him, man. All this Trent talk is giving me propaganda to Southgate type of vibes, to be honest.
I can't discount that, though. I'd give it to Danny Ings. I can't lie, I'll give it to Danny Ings.
That's fair. That's really a good shot.
He was involved in all of the goals. So, yeah, unless anyone wants to argue that, then I think we will go with Mr. Danny Ings. But yeah, I think we'll wrap this one up. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials. That's at The Brothers Chat on Twitter and Instagram. You can also listen to this on Apple and Spotify. So don't forget to subscribe in a bit.